I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership. Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Tuesday to you, boys and girls. One question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
That's all that really matters. And we come to you live for the Quicken Loans Studios, national mortgage lender. Quicken Loans, apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Thanks for being with us on a Trash Tuesday. We are reading through your trashes by tweeting them at me, DA on CBS. Also, you can dial us up and deliver your trashes that way as well at 855-212-4CBS. Brendan Haywood's going to join us from Turner's NCAA tournament coverage. We'll talk to Brendan coming up in about 17 minutes from now on what amounted to be one of the wildest, if not the wildest, opening weekends in NCAA tournament history. But first, this Tom Brady story I find very interesting. It is so easy for us to poo-poo Tom Brady's retirement. He's looked great. He looks great at this point in his career. If he does have moments where he looks his age, they are fleeting. He looked his age earlier in the season, really late in the season, but before the playoffs against the Dolphins. But once we got to the playoffs, Tom Brady looked very good. First half against the Jaguars, at home against that pass rush, Tom Brady looked his age. But second half, he was phenomenal. And in the Super Bowl, was phenomenal. Last year in the postseason against the Houston Texans, Tom Brady looked his age. But in the Super Bowl, after being down 28-3, looking his age of the first half, in the second half, he looked half that. So every time that Tom Brady seems to be showing signs of age, he rebounds, performs well when it matters most, and thus it's easy to poo-poo that he should retire. It's easy for people to say he can play another 5 years. Hell, Mraz had callers call up during his shifts and say from Boston, Patriots fans want him and think he can play until he's 50. Wave their hand and say, Brady can play another 9 years. The facts are the facts. Brady has extended his career longer than anybody else at that position in NFL history, but it will not last forever. And at some point, it's going to come to an end, and I bet it's coming to an end sooner rather than later. I've said this all along. I think he plays no more than two more seasons. I said this 2 years ago. I don't think he's playing more than 2 years from today. He might get this season and next season. He's not playing past that. He's not getting to 45 because you could only defeat Father Time so long. It's not realistic to think that he can play at a high level at 45 years old. And I am damned if I think that Bill Belichick or that organization is going to have Tom Brady playing like a middle of the road, middle of the pack, equal touchdown interception ratio, just another guy quarterback. It's not going to happen. And is Tom Brady for the last two seasons of his career going to go play in San Diego? Is he for the last two seasons of his career going to go just take a couple of more dollars to play, even if he's a mediocre quarterback. It cannot last forever. It will not last forever. And it will not last another 5 years. It won't even last another 3 or 4 years. He's 41, and at some point in time, he's going to look exactly his age. What he has already done is defy time, and it is remarkable. If he's not the greatest quarterback of all time, he's on a very short list. But let's get real. It's going to end. And it's easy. No, I mean, at some point it's going to end. And people want to just wave their wand and wave their hand and act as though this thing is going to go on forever. And it's not. It feels like it will, but it's not. So it brings us to Gautam Chopra, who is the son of Deepak Chopra and is a film editor and a director and a producer. And he's the guy that was behind the Tom versus Time Facebook series.
I'm on Twitter or Facebook right now.
And Gautam Chopra, who we've actually had on the show because he was the director behind the Kobe Bryant documentary, Kobe Bryant's Muse. He spoke to Peter King and he had some thoughts and ideas about how long Brady's got left.
Yeah, I think the last two seasons, and that is kind of what Gisele says in that last interview, have been very challenging for him, both because of stuff off the field, you know, going back to the suspension, his mom getting unwell, etc. But yeah, also I think, you know, it's an 18-year marriage and it's been an incredibly successful run. And I think that, there's a lot of intensity and a lot of pressure and a lot of big personalities. And Tom is one of them. And I think, you know, that hasn't been easy. I think this idea that he's going to play for 4 or 5 more seasons, I mean, this is just me, the guy who's been around him for a while now. Like, I'd have a hard time envisioning that, to be candid. But we'll see. I mean, I do think that these next few weeks and months are a really critical time for him.
That's the MMQB podcast by Sports Illustrated with Peter King. There's a lot to unpack here. Okay? There's a lot to unpack. So Brady said when they filmed this in August of 2017 that he wants 2 more Super Bowl runs, 2 more Super Bowl appearances. Of course, they went there this past season, the 2017 season, so that would mean he would need 1 more if he's going to hold tight to that. And Brady said, if I get to 2 more Super Bowls, that could be shorter than 5 or 6 seasons. I think it's interesting that Chopra mentions there's a lot of intensity, a lot of pressure, and Tom is one of them. That whole story by Seth Wickersham of ESPN the magazine was poo-pooed by the Patriots. Nothing to see here. Move along. Look, there was a lot of truth. Yeah, there might have been some small details that Patriots haters or naysayers could hang their hat onto. Was Jimmy Garoppolo really not allowed to the TB12 clinic because he was Jimmy Garoppolo? Maybe not. He was probably not allowed in just simply because the door was locked. And everybody, the place was closed. So there were small details that naysayers would say, see, you got this wrong. But the general idea was absolutely right on. Brady has a very strong belief in what he deserves within that organization, as he should. Bill comes at it from a totally different way. And Kraft, if you don't think Kraft has an ego, you haven't been following along very much. Chopra also said the fact that he's got 3 growing kids, a wife who said, you know, I've kind of been putting stuff on hold for a while. I want to go out and do my thing as well. Tom's juggling a lot of things. And I think that's basically what he says at the end of the documentary. I have to recalibrate. I have to find that conviction again. Let's not overlook the fact that Gisele is worth nearly twice as much as he is. And she's been playing Tom Brady's wife. Go to the games, raise the kids, be Mrs. Patriot. And she's a powerful, driven, successful, wealthy, beautiful, business acumen-laden person. I could totally see this being part of the equation. And them having the conversation of, Tom, I understand you only have so many years you could do this. So you've got to milk this for what it's worth. But time's ticking on me as well. And I want to go do my thing. And you're not home and you don't take care of the kids. And yes, we can afford nannies and everything. But I've got to be Tom Brady's wife. At some point, we need you to be Giselle's husband. I could totally see that being part of this. And she has spoken about the concussions, wanting Brady to retire. He's 41 years old, and what else is there left to accomplish? If you believe he's already the greatest quarterback of all time, he doesn't need to do anything else. If you believe he hasn't surpassed Montana, it's only because Montana was perfect in his four Super Bowls and never threw an INT and never lost a Super Bowl. Brady has lost three of them and has been imperfect in those losses. So, there's no debate anymore. If you believe he's the best, he's always going to be the best. If you believe he's not the best, nothing he can do is going to overcome that. I think it's very significant. It's a very serious reality that this is Brady's either final season coming up or second to final season. That's what I believe. I think this is either the last or the second to last. And I believe that this could be Bill Belichick's last as well. And if Bill Belichick walks out the door a year from now, maybe Brady says, I don't really need to be starting over the new coach. I'm gone. Or maybe the organization says, we don't want both of you to leave at the same time, so only one of you can leave right now. But I believe with every bone in my body, Tom Brady and or Bill Belichick, both of those guys will not be a member of the Patriots 2 years from today. By the time the end of the 2019 season, both of those guys will have left. I absolutely wholeheartedly believe that. And I think it's laughable to just simply wave your hand and say, Brady's going to play until he's 45. He's going to play until he's 46. He's going to play until he's 50. It's not going to happen that way. 855-212-4CBS. Twitter, DA on CBS. Kevin on a Trash Tuesday. He's trashing Mraz, following up last week's belching on air with disrespecting a guy with one finger missing. Hashtag stinky trash.
Must be Trash Tuesday.
Well, in slight defense of Mraz, I don't think he's disrespecting the guy because he's got four fingers. He's just simply saying, you got to alert me if you got four fingers if I want to give you a high five.
Yeah, just do the fist pump. The high five become, you lose privileges to a high five.
Well, we also said left hand high five.
Right. Why throw that right hand out there with, you know, a little piglet waving at me?
Well, the right hand is the more natural high five hand.
Okay, but you would think this, I would assume this wasn't his first day back off whatever injury this was.
Should he learn how to shake hands from the left?
Yes. Everything. I'm sure he's learned other things to do with the left being short of finger.
But then... But then, if you shake a guy's hand from the left, you've got to shake with your left hand. That's hard.
I would be more open to do that. I would rather have the... This is an awkward left-handed shake, then what is that?
Zane tweets, I'm trashing anyone complaining about snow. I survived the 8 feet of snow that fell on Erie, PA in 2 days. Had to literally dig ourselves out of the house. Hashtag child's play.
You're so trashy.
Kevin tweets, I'm trashing the Steelers front office, signing John Bostic, Matthew Slater, Morgan Burnett. Gives the same Band-Aid over a bullet hole fix we've had at the end of last year as well.
Hot trash.
Brandon tweets, I'm trashing people with a morning breath. Too early in the morning to be walking around gassing up the place with your bad breath. Hashtag, you need to breathe like this.
Must be Trash Tuesday.
Coffee breath, morning breath, sandwich breath in the morning, all bad.
What?
And just upon hearing that I am going to have Robbie Rosenhaus, a.k.a. The House, a.k.a. Mraz's arch nemesis on this week's PGP, simply tweets, permission granted podcast ratings on the decline.
Epic trash job,
Robbie.
When we come back here on the show, Brendan Haywood's going to join us from Turner and NCAA March Madness coverage. We'll ask him about moving into the Sweet 16 after the nuttiest opening 4 days ever. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Make the right game plan for you. Farmers Insurance has practical insurance knowledge gained from more than 89 years of experience. Find an agent at farmers.com.
We are Farmers. Bum, ba-dum, bum, 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 bum.
And a happy Trash Tuesday to you. Thanks for being with us, DA, with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Remember, you can always watch the show, the simulcast at watchda.com. And the simulcast continues, the most recent episode on loop, the most recent episode up until we're back on the air again. So at any point in time during the day, you can watch at watchda.com. Evan tweets, I'm trashing people who have to bring up that UMBC wasn't the first 16 to beat a 1 because a women's team did it first. Get off your high PC horses. One is trying to slight women's basketball. Come on. No one is trying to do that.
Trash Tuesday is fun for everyone.
I think that's fair. I don't think necessarily it's a PC high horse. I just think it's a reminder that it did happen before. And frankly, I didn't know that. I will be the first one to admit, when UMBC did it and pulled the trick on Friday, I just assumed it was the first one ever in both the men's and women's tournament. But 20 years ago, Harvard did it to Stanford in the women's tournament, and I had no idea. I actually went back and read about that and watched a piece about that because I said, wow, how did I not know this piece of history? Turned out that Stanford as a one seed suffered an injury to one of their best players right before the selection committee's rankings came out, the seeding came out, but the selection committee didn't know the severity of the injury. So they had lost that player, one of their best players, and still got the one seed. Had that been public, they might not have gotten the one seed. Then, during practice that week, a second one of their players ripped her ACL. And so they were down their two best players going into that game. On top of it, because they just lost their two best players, they shut down practice and said, we're not practicing anymore this week. We don't want to lose anybody more. And the players don't want to practice out of fear of getting injured or just out of the devastation, out of losing these two players. So they go into the 116, down their best two players, and having not practiced all week, and they end up losing that game to the 16 seed Harvard. It's an amazing story. But I had no idea. So I'm kind of glad people have been bringing that up. Because without UMBC doing this, I would have never known. And without people mentioning this, I would have never known. What an amazing story that is. But that's the thing about this upset of Virginia. Don't even give me the DeAndre Hunter injury. Yes, they lost their sixth man for the tournament. And you might remember me saying this. When I found out about that, that was after I filled out my bracket and made Virginia my champion. And I said, I can't change now. The bracket is in. I'm not going to change. I said, but I don't feel very good about this pick. Now, I never thought they'd lose to 116, and I didn't think they'd lose an opening weekend. I did think the loss of DeAndre Hunter would end up factoring in later on in the tournament, but I thought maybe an Elite Eight type of game might get them. Virginia wasn't down its two best players. Virginia wasn't down because it didn't practice all week. They weren't emotionally devastated. There was no excuse for that to happen the way that it did, and Virginia lost by 20. It is the single greatest upset in college basketball history because of the stage of which it happened and the severity of the loss. You've got to understand something. And I watched a lot of ACC basketball this year, and I was at every game of the ACC tournament. Virginia lost one time in the ACC this season. They lost once. Now, the Big 12 might have been the best conference top to bottom, but the ACC had better top-end teams, you could argue. The ACC has four teams left in this Final 16, and Virginia and North Carolina got knocked out. How about that? The ACC has more teams than any other conference in the Sweet 16, and they had a 1 and a 2 already knocked out. So That's the best conference in America.
How about that?
Virginia lost once in the regular season and tore through the ACC tournament barely breaking a sweat. They beat all comers. They beat everybody in that conference and beat them like a drum. And I just don't know how you could look at that and say, yeah, but they're ripe for an upset. Their style of play felt like it could even things out for a lesser seed because they played a more plodding, slower style. Okay? And this is one thing that Bill Self has understood and Roy Williams has understood and Rick Pitino has understood. If you have better athletes, run. Because you get more possessions. You're faster, you're longer, you're more athletic, and you get more possessions in a game. So the simple math is, because of the talent disparities in college basketball, if you have the best talent, run. Because if you have the best talent, you get more possessions, and by more possessions, you should, by virtue, end up pulling away from your lesser talented opponents. While Virginia wasn't more talented than the rest of the ACC, they're not more talented than Duke, North Carolina, etc., they're far more talented than UMBC. Even with a kid Lyles that might play in the NBA one day on the Retrievers. So for them slowing things down, it played into UMBC's hands. But there is still no excuse for the way that that went down. None. So it's still unfathomable. Because not only had it been 135 times the one seed has won, but they lost by 20 and they were the top overall seed. You know, think about it if you ranked the 68-team field. A one seed, could be the fourth best team of the tournament. So if the fourth number one seed loses to the best 16 seed, right? Now you're talking about the fourth best team of the tournament against maybe the 64th best team of the tournament. 4 versus 64. This was supposed to be 1 versus 68, and 1 versus 68 ended in a 20-point loss. There is just no excuse. And look, I understand that UMBC deserves a lot of credit, and they do. And they played the game of their lives. But that's also the greatest humiliation in college basketball history. It's way worse than Virginia losing to Chaminade. That happened in the middle of the night on Christmas Eve in a game that wasn't televised on winter break in Hawaii. I mean, come on. It's not even close. Yeah, Chaminade was an NAIA school. It's weird that an NAIA school would lose to would beat the number one team of the country. But it is nowhere close to losing when the tournament is on the line by 20 points to a commuter school. We are still efforting Brendan Haywood, Turner Sports. When we come back, we've got your epic fail. We've got more Trash Tuesdays. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Grab a surge protector. You're about to be zapped.
DA, what's up, brother? How you feeling? I love listening to your show, man. I listen to you every day. I can't wait for it, and I hate when it ends. Your gimmicks are the best gimmicks. Want to say I appreciate you guys, and have a good day.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And our toll-free line is 855-212-4227. Brought to you by GEICO. Great news. Quick way you could save money. Switching to GEICO. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Our next guest was a first-round draft pick at North Carolina in the NBA draft. Also, he played 15 seasons in the NBA. Brendan Haywood is scheduled to join us coming up here momentarily. We'll get to your Trash Tuesdays as well here on the DA Show before we get out of here today. Brian tweets, I'm trashing Trae Young for declaring for the NBA draft after the great start he showed he can't sustain and should go back for another season.
Trash Tuesday is fun for everyone.
You know, I struggle on this thing. I hate to tell a young man what to do with their lives, especially if there's money on the table to be had. And for Trae Young, it looks like he's still going to be a lottery pick. But I would agree that there is more to be had from another college year. I think he's too slight. I think he's too slender to work the next level. I think there's obviously some explosion in his offensive ability, but I worry about him at the next level. But if he's going to be a lottery pick, how can you say no? As I mentioned before, our next guest, a first-round draft pick out of North Carolina, played 15 years in the NBA. He's a member of Turner Sports, and you could watch all 67 games of the 2018 NCAA tournament across four national TV networks, TBS, CBS, TNT, and True TV, and via NCAA March Madness Live on 16 platforms. TBS will be the home to live coverage of this year's Final Four semifinals and the national championship games, corresponding team cast presentations on TNT and True TV. Brendan Haywood, our guest. Brendan, good morning.
What's going on, man? How you doing?
I'm doing well. Who is the best team in your mind still in this tournament? Because we had a lot of upsets of big seeds. Who's the best team right now in your mind?
We've had a lot of huge upsets. I think this has been one of the greatest tournaments ever. As far as upsets are concerned, we have the whole South bracket where the top four seeds are gone. Never happened before. But the best team to me, I think, is a two-man race. Villanova and Duke. Villanova, I like their three-point ability. They have guys that have been there before. You know, they have upperclassmen. But Duke is probably the most talented team. And they might have an easier path to get to the Final Four. So I really like those two teams right now. Duke and Villanova are tied as the best overall team of mine.
Duke will play Syracuse the Sweet 16. Syracuse's zone has confounded three teams now, Arizona State, TCU, and Michigan State. Why is the zone confusing to teams in March?
The zone is confusing to teams in March just because of lack of preparation. If you look at Jim Boeheim, when he loses games, it's normally the first game of the tournament, because if you only have one day to prep for that zone, I think he's 14 or 13-2 in those type of situations. And what happens is, you guys don't have enough time. They don't realize all the different things that zone does. And if you're not prepared to attack that zone in the right way, the game will be ugly. It will be played at Syracuse's pace, and you have a good chance to lose that basketball game. Showing that most teams attack the zone the wrong way as far as they think it bombs with outside. But the way you really beat that zone is through the inside and making that zone compressed and attack it the wrong way. Michigan State did the same thing, and you end up losing ball games by taking a lot of wild contested threes.
Brendan Haywood joins us from Turner Sports. As you mentioned, the South region, the top four seeds are gone. That means Kentucky is the highest seed available. In the bottom half of their bracket, the one and the two are gone, Xavier and North Carolina. In your mind, is Kentucky the favorite to get to the national championship game out of that side of the bracket?
Man, they have the most talent. But keep your eye on Michigan. Michigan made it to the Sweet 16, and they haven't played their best basketball yet. They were really hot in the Big Ten tournament, had that long extended layoff because they moved the Big Ten tournament up a week this year, and they didn't look right. They didn't look the same. So keep an eye on Michigan down there as well, because this John Beilein team can defend as well as score. His team's been able to score in the past, they can defend also. But I love Kentucky's talent.
I loved what Texas A&M did on Sunday as well.
I didn't.
You didn't? That's a good point. But, you know, I think that because they had such an up-and-down season, we didn't know what to expect coming into the tournament. But now that we've seen what they did to North Carolina, what's their potential this upcoming weekend?
Well, the thing is, Texas A&M was a really bad match for North Carolina. If you watch Carolina this year, you've understood that they've struggled against athletic bigs all season long, even back in the early part of the season. Like, Michigan State destroyed Carolina the same way, a bunch of athletic big men. This year, Carolina wasn't a typical Carolina team as far as having the depth up front. We played a different style this year. So the fact that, those Texas bigs were able to take advantage didn't surprise me. As far as moving along, I don't know. Because Michigan is going to present some interesting challenges as far as the way they're able to spread you out, run some pick-and-roll action. Their roll-and-replace game is really good. So I'm not sure. I would probably go to Michigan in that game, but it wouldn't surprise me if Texas A&M beat Michigan, because Texas A&M has talent. They've underachieved this year, whether it was due to injuries or some suspension early on in the season. They had a three-game lull in the middle of the SEC where they just didn't look like they could get right. But the talent has never been questioned. It's always been the execution. Can these guys go out there and execute and play well together? And look what they're gelling at the right time.
Brendan Haywood, our guest from Turner Sports. Kansas is moving on. They're a one seed, but boy, they didn't look good at all in that first round game against Penn. They scored 6 points over the course of 10 minutes in that first half. Should we be worried about Bill Self's Jayhawks this weekend?
I'm not worried about that team because they have a three-guard combo. And any given night, any one of the guards can get you. We saw that as Devontae Graham didn't have his best stuff last game. But guess what? Malik Newman, who has been an absolute godsend for this team during the stretch of the season, has really started to pick it up. The Mississippi State transfer that was a McDonald's All-American is now starting to come into his own. And he gives him another ball handler besides Graham and Steve McCullough, guys that can score the basketball. And he can score in that three-guard lineup. I think a couple of days off for Azubuike, getting him more in a rhythm, will help the team as well. I think we'll see Kansas play better basketball. I actually like Kansas to meet up with Duke in the Elite Eight.
Brendan Haywood, Turner Sports NCAA analyst, TBS, will be home to the live coverage of the Final Four of the National Championship game with corresponding team cast presentations on TNT and True TV as well in 2 weeks. Brendan, good stuff, man. Enjoy this weekend. We'll talk to you again.
Yeah, man, thanks, man. Appreciate you guys having me on.
You got it. Brendan Haywood joining us this morning here on the DA Show. More Trash Tuesdays coming down the pike at you guys. Steven tweets, what's worse, Virginia losing or Michigan losing to Appalachian State? It's a great question, but I still go UVA. They're the number one overall seed in the NCAA tournament, losing to a 16 by 20. Michigan lost to App State at home in the Big House, but it's week one of the college football season. There just is nothing on the line. I mean, clearly that was going to sink their hopes for a national title, but I still think that the way that Virginia lost by 20 in the tournament has got to be way worse. Steve Van Smack tweets, I'm trashing cheap brand pumpkin seeds where it's impossible to get to the seed without also eating the shell.
Boom. Trashed.
Never thought about that as a problem. Guess I'm not buying enough cheap pumpkin seeds. Drenz tweets, I'm trashing grocery stores for having 37 aisles, but only 4 of them are open. Insert, come on, Damien soundbite.
I don't even have a job, Damien. Come on, Damien. Wake up.
And now also a trash has to be in there.
Trash Tuesday is fun for everyone.
Patrick tweets, true story. Harvard over Stanford in the first ever 16-1 was the only upset in the history of women's basketball. That's what also makes it remarkable. We were filling out our women's brackets because if you are not up to speed on this, one spicy moment is us playing our bracket challenge along with you guys, the listeners, and the worst bracket from us here inside the staff is going to have to eat a big heaping helping scoop of the hottest salsa on the market. Now, the only way you can get out of that is if you win the women's bracket. We have a simultaneous women's bracket, which is basically your one security blanket. Right now, it looks like Bogish, Wilkins, and me are near the bottom of the men's bracket. So when we filled out the women's bracket, you had to go chalk. I mean, almost all of us went ones or twos or all four number ones in the Final Four because there's rarely upsets, but that's what's going to decide this bracket. It's the 8 versus the 9, the one random 6 over a 10 or 7 over a 10. If you can nail one or two of those, it might end up delivering you the championship of the women's bracket. Lot of drama right now. Lot of drama. And Pete the Body Bilotti has had a great men's bracket. Great. Brian tweets, instead of the awkward left-hand high five, why not just give a low five?
You're so trashy.
Would that be better, Mraz, with the guy with the four fingers?
I mean, you're still making contact, though. You know what I mean? It's like a hitter at the plate. If I'm still making contact, I don't want to make contact.
Zach tweets, to follow Mraz's rules, I'm trashing Robbie Rosenhaus, a.k.a. the house, a.k.a. the guest of today's PGP, for being fat because the BMI index says I'm fat. Hashtag fat Robbie, hashtag fat Mraz, hashtag fat Zach, hashtag squine squeal.
Hot trash.
Robbie. Is that fair? If BMI index says you're fat, does that mean we can all then just call you fat?
No, and we're not hashtagging Fat Mraz. That's not becoming a thing.
Got it.
Correct.
Got it. I just want to make sure I know where the rules are on heavy people.
No, you don't do it. There was a kid that we grew up with called Fat Steven, and I always hated that, that was his nickname.
Did he embrace it?
No, I don't think he liked it. His dog attacked me once, though. Remember that? I was scared for dogs for years.
Now, that is right.
Now, was he heavier than you were?
Yes, very much. I don't know whatever happened to him, but yeah, if everybody at school called him Fat. I never did, but everybody at school called him Fat Steven, and I always hated that.
Yeah, that's mean.
Very mean. It's not, you know.
So you were never Fat Sean?
No, thankfully, because you know why? I was slick. I got ahead of it. I covered up my fatness with comedy. I was the class clown.
Yeah. A Kevin James, if you will.
Nobody called Kevin James Fat Kevin. No way.
That's right. Sean tweets, I'm trashing the, quote, sharpshooter that thinks his aim is so good he doesn't need to lift up the seat.
Hot trash.
Hate those guys. Hate those guys. Jim tweets, I'm trashing the girl at the pet store who didn't tie up the bag of crickets for my daughter's gecko, and now the crickets are in our freaking car.
Epic trash job.
Be serious. A-Dub tweets, I'm trashing the so-called experts on ESPN who say their brackets are, quote, pretty much what they expect at this point. Please.
Trash Tuesday is fun for everyone.
That's so great. Like I said, yeah, I picked a lot of upsets. I said there was going to be a lot of upsets, but I picked all the wrong upsets. So my bracket is en fuego, as in on fire, as in a flaming wreckage. Let's get your epic fail of the morning, boys and girls. Mraz was unhappy with his high five he got on St. Paddy's Day.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
If you have anything less than a full five fingers on your hand, you can't be giving people surprise high fives out of nowhere. It can't happen, okay?
Has this happened to you?
So I was at a pub, a local pub for St. Patrick's Day, and they have a...
JPP showed up?
No, was it? Well, you might as well have been.
Damn alligator bit my hand off.
Oh my God!
Yeah.
The either owner or manager of said establishment, he goes, well, happy St. Paddy's Day, man. He raised his hand to slap me, and there it was, missing the ring finger on his right hand. And I looked up as I slapped him, and it was one of those, how am I not supposed to react when I see this? We made contact, and I had a loose finger on a high five, which turned out to be a high nine, I guess.
High five, not a fist pound.
Not a fist pound. A fist pound, you could hide the missing finger.
I hooked my ball in the rough down by the lake. Damned alligator just popped up. Cut me down in my prime.
Where was the finger down to? Was it,
I mean, you
was
had
a nub?
A very brief nub. I mean, as nubby as a nub could be. One of my other buddies looked at me and goes, did you see it? I go, did I see it? I made contact with it.
Chest bump is okay.
Chest bump's okay. I'd rather chest bump you awkwardly than have to make contact with that thing. I'm sorry. I know it's wrong, and I wish that guy grew a finger back because nobody deserves that. But you can't be given high fives and then...
Are you kidding me?
That makes me uncomfortable. It can make anybody uncomfortable.
Let me ask you, can you go lefty five there?
Yes. Yes.
So he should perfect the lefty five.
Go with the strong hand.
It's awkward, but...
But at least I got five fingers there.
How many people want to eat a W tonight? Let's eat one.
I definitely high-five Ronnie Lott because that's more like a high 9 3/4. That's almost a high 10.
It's still, though, it's going to catch you in a freeze. You got to have a finger, man. If you don't have a finger, move on from the high five.
Okay, what about Anthony Munoz or Brian Baldinger when
with
the fingers going the other way?
I'll do it. You still have five fingers.
How can this be?
Is that easier?
There's a road crossing. There's an X to be made.
There's intersection.
Right. There's no. I'm just flapping my ring finger into emptiness, into a darkness. It's like a galaxy far away.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
Glad we spent 15 minutes on that. I'm sure the bosses love that segment. Zach tweets, I'm trashing Robbie Rosenhaus, a.k.a. the house, for saying the Vikings are the class of the NFC North without even a Super Bowl win.
Trashing is fun.
The house on today's PGP. Chino Palooza tweet, those old men with bushels of hay in their noses and ears aren't getting colds or other infections because germs can't penetrate that defense. Pulling your nose hairs is like playing with an empty net in the second period.
Taking out the trash.
Yeah, but with all that hair coming out of their nose, is there more stuff that could get stuck in there? I don't know. Fix tweets, I'm trashing Mraz. I have a friend with five fingers total. I asked him how he feels about people's reactions when they first see his hands. He said he could care less. There are strange-looking people everywhere, especially if you live in New York. Hashtag grow up.
You're so trashy.
You think? Look at this crew. All of us are strange-looking. Man. All right, that will do it for us this morning here on the DA Show. Thanks to Mraz, executive producer. Thanks to Pete, the body Bilotti on the Wheels of Steel. Thanks to Andrew Kaplan on the simulcast, watchda.com. And Brad Heller, the dessert coordinator, on your headlines. Be good and be good to one another. I'm off tomorrow on Thursday. I'll see you back on Friday for Sweet 16 recap action. The mothership disconnects.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.